follow the messages on screen, the written audio that your collaboration becomes available. This station will now see
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We're your hosts, Cameron and Kobe, and we are ready to bring survival goodness direct to your dirty little ear holes.
Yep. This is going to be an interesting one. Kobe is high as crap right now. Sleep medicine.
Oh, man. Did not get a good night's rest last night.
Tell everybody what time you took your sleep medicine.
Well, it was like 2:30 a.m. I was so freaking pissed. I'm like, I don't
care.
Well,
I got 4 hours to wake up. Go ahead and take a sleep medicine.
Just do it. So I'm
and
still...
And Unisom has a half-life of like 75 years.
It's a lot like
like when you die, a nuke. It might be out of your system.
It's a lot like a nuke. Yeah, so anyways, man.
I'd say he passed away from natural causes, but there's a bunch of Unisom still in the system.
Still in the system. He took in 1987. Yeah, so anyways, I'm here, but I'm not really here. So yeah. We'll see how this goes.
So his communication ability is now on par with mine.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
We are on par. So what's going on today, Cameron?
We get a podcast.
Oh, really?
Right now. Don't know if you knew about that.
I wish you would have reminded me.
So this is the original podcast, not the mindless banter stuff,
which is too bad.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about big rocks in space.
Yeah, we are.
And if they penetrate through the atmosphere and cause all kinds of nastiness.
Yeah, asteroid strikes. Well, I guess at that point it becomes a meteor. But I know. It's all an asteroid.
It's all like, well, if you want to be specific about it, asteroid passing through the atmosphere becomes a meteor.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to be nerdy nerds today, but I'm going to call it asteroid just to kind of make it easy.
So we're basically just going to play an audiobook of...
of what?
Of Deep Impact.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was a good one, huh?
Yeah. But guys, today's podcast is brought to you by TacPack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional-grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with our code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com and join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That is 10% off with our code CASUALPREPPERS. At TacPack.com. That was beautiful.
Hold
man.
It for like 10 minutes.
Let's see how long you can do it.
Listener reviews starts now.
This is Eric Gator. Yeah.
Eric.
So this is about the book, right?
Yeah.
The Kindle edition.
Yeah, the Kindle.
Isn't that the only edition?
That's the only edition there is. Special edition. Only
all right.
Edition.
5-star. Great quick book to read that carries a big punch. January 13, 2019.
You didn't have to tell them what the date was.
Verified purchase format Kindle edition.
Well done.
All right. I listen to your podcast on a regular basis, and when reading this book, kept hearing your voices. God help me. Can't wait for your next book. Your liberal friend from San Francisco, California, Eric. P.S. Not all preppers are conservative. Don't.
It's a secret.
Don't tell people.
Some of you guys aren't concerned.
Thanks, Eric. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was good. If you guys want to be part of this portion of the podcast, go to iTunes, go to Facebook, go to the Kindle book on Amazon, leave us a 5-star review, and make it awesome.
It's a mad, mad world.
Yes, the world is mad and it's getting madder by the day, son. This one went really well with our topic today.
I'm rubbing my chest right now.
I'm done with that. So this actually says that the headline of this reads, this week NASA is practicing what to do if an asteroid hits Earth.
Oh, really?
Can you believe it?
They must have known that our podcast was coming
out
today.
From earlier this month, it says the two agencies together with some international groups are holding a practice run of what would ensue in case of an asteroid, comet, or other near-Earth object, otherwise known as NEO, came hurtling toward the planet. The two agencies are partnering with international groups such as
hurling.
Yeah, well, it says hurtling. That's what it says.
Nice job.
Such as NASA's Planetary Defense Coordination Office. And if I could work for someone, that's who I want to work for.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I work for the PDCO, Planetary Defense Coordination Office.
No.
I'm the vice president of the PDCO.
I'm the CFO.
COO.
I make sure I pay for all the...
Yeah. The European Space Agency's Space Situational Awareness, NEO segment, and the International Asteroid Warning Network.
Ew.
I'd watch that station. Anyways, it's just a drill. The drill is taking place this week at the annual Planetary Defense Conference.
Oh.
Yeah. So scientists across the globe are going to come together, discuss threatening objects to Earth. Specifically, they will participate in a fictional scenario in which an asteroid has an impact trajectory with the Earth. So that's happening.
Just a hot air balloon that's shaped as an asteroid. Yeah. There it is, boys.
Okay, what are we going to do? Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cool. I just thought that was kind of interesting, especially with our topic.
Why don't we just save you some time, and we're going to tell you what to do right now.
Don't worry about
it. Don't even go to that convention. That convention isn't worth it.
No, it's not. So that's what I got.
I guess we'll get into it.
But
I didn't have
you don't have a Mad World.
I tried just slipping by. I think my only Mad World is still to this day, Russia cannot admit fault to the Chernobyl.
Yeah, did you see that they're making their own Chernobyl now?
That's what I was referring to.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they're like trying to say that the United States had CIA in there and, you know, had basically caused the...
Oh, well, yeah.
It was the U.S. that was at fault for all of that.
That's how it goes, man.
So
that's how it goes.
Gotta love a country that won't ever accept fault, ever.
I love it. Okay, so today we're talking about surviving an asteroid strike, and we talked about the technicalities of this. Technically, if we survive it, it's a meteor strike, right?
Right.
So, but we're going to talk about this whole scenario. We thought it was fun.
Yeah.
We thought it might be interesting. So here we are. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, Cam, do you know what an asteroid is?
Yeah.
Well, what is it?
You tell me.
Okay, I'll tell you. Basically, it's a small rocky body orbiting the sun.
Mm.
That makes sense, right? Large numbers of these ranging in size from nearly 600 miles across to dust particles. So that's the whole spectrum of asteroids. That is a range, yeah. They're found especially between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter, and that's where the asteroid belt is.
I got an asteroid belt.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm using the
meteor belt.
Click belt today, I think. Though some have more eccentric orbits, and few pass close to the Earth and enter the atmosphere as meteors. So, there are asteroids out there. Can you hear the police?
They're coming right after us.
I know. So we've all seen this scenario play out. I mean, we've all seen it. We've seen Deep Impact. We've seen Armageddon.
It was a hot year for asteroid strikes.
Was that the same year?
Yeah, same year.
Holy fudge, man.
Yeah.
That must have freaked people out.
I know. It's funny how those ideas always come in two separate or three separate movies. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah,
you guys are all sharing ideas and
obviously
decide to make your own.
Armageddon was...
The better.
Well, it was the more successful movie.
Right. Better actors.
You better act. Had Ben Affleck and...
All the best.
What's his name? And the other what's his name guy. And then that girl. There was a bunch of them in it.
There's bunch female and males in it.
Yeah. So which asteroids are close and what are the chances? This is what we should really be thinking about, because is it actually something that could actually happen?
Right.
Astronomers estimate that between 37,000 and 78,000 tons of solar system debris hit Earth every year.
That's crazy.
That's a whole bunch, right? Though, luckily, these usually rain down in tiny pieces that burn up in the atmosphere rather than large chunks that explode on the ground, which is good for us because exploding chunks of space rock is bad. You can actually go to IAWN.net/close-approaches, and you can see all the NEOs, near-Earth orbit objects, that will come close and when they will come close.
Wow.
So you can kind of track that and get out your telescope and see if you're going to die type thing, you know? But it's now estimated there are about 300,000 near-Earth asteroids over 100 meters in diameter.
Good freak.
That's big. Yeah, 100 meters, that's like almost 100 yards.
I don't know what meters is.
It's almost 100 yards, I think, something like that. And there's about 2,000 that are over 1 kilometer in diameter.
Freak.
Those are big. Those are the kind that you don't want to come down to Earth.
No.
NASA scientists think they've already discovered more than 90% of the potential civilization enders near Earth asteroids that are at least 0.6 miles wide. So those are the ones they think if it does hit the Earth, if they're at least a kilometer wide, then it's done. We're done. Yeah. We're all dead. No use of even hiding. And none of these mountain-sized space rocks pose a threat for the foreseeable future. So
what about the other 10%?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
We have no idea.
We don't know. And that's part of the issue here. But
maybe the moon is a slow-moving asteroid.
Yeah.
It's going to strike the Earth.
I haven't done the calculations, but I'm just saying someone should.
Really nice and smooth. Coming right in.
Yeah. But there are lots of undiscovered asteroids zooming through near-Earth space that could do serious damage on a local scale. Basically wiping out, you know, an area the size of a state, for example. like a medium-sized state or a small state, maybe even a big state.
There's a couple
state.
States that I wouldn't mind it to strike.
Yeah, just get rid of California, and we can move on with our lives.
Sorry, Eric, if you're listening.
Yeah, that's right. So let's look at some that actually have the chance to make impact with
Earth. Some sweet freaking names.
I know, dude. It's like the first one, 3200 Faithion. I think that's how it's spelled. Faithon. I don't know how to say it. But basically, this is a 3.6-mile wide rock. It ended up grazing us by 6.2 million miles back in December.
The numbers get so crazy.
Like grazing us, 6.2 million. But apparently that is...
Ooh, that was 6.1.
You guys feel that?
You could have just nicked the top of Mount Everest.
But apparently that is close when it comes to, you know, the vast, you know, space out there. That's close, right?
The vast allotness.
At which point it was actually visible from the Earth with a small telescope. So that's kind of cool.
When was that?
That was in December. So I think it was December of last year. 3,200 Faithon probably won't end most life on Earth, but it would certainly muck things up for a bit.
Muck.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. Wouldn't be like dinosaur.
We'll
bad.
Talk about some devastation that it could cause.
Sure. The next one is 2017 XO2. It's 330 feet wide. It will take many passes at Earth, each with their own small probability of collision. So on April 28th of 2041, April 29th of 2047, April 28th of 2053, April 29th of 2059, and April 28th of 2065.
Write these down.
Yeah, put these on your Google calendar right now. All right. So
just hold your phone up to the podcast.
Hey, Google.
Go back 10 seconds.
Add a calendar invite at April 28th, 2041. 2017
I'm sure that notification pops up. 2017 XO2. What was that?
What was that?
I need to refill my refrigerator? Redo my filter on my fridge?
Again, not a cataclysmic impact, but could definitely cause some serious issues. It has the probabilities are greater than 0.00001% that is going to hit us.
Yeah, that's pretty good odds.
But you never know. You never know.
True.
Another one is 2017 YZ1. This one is one of my favorites.
YZ Yamaha.
Yeah. This 1,000-foot-wide asteroid has a non-zero chance, 0.00015%.
Why are we even talking about it?
Because it's the closest of hitting the Earth on June 30th, 2047.
So put that I have a scout trip on that
I know.
Date.
That's what I figured. Bring your telescope. These aren't great odds, but still a much better chance than you have of winning the lottery. So if you think about it, people are out there winning the lottery.
So this could happen.
This could actually happen, right? It isn't big enough to cause an extinction event, yet if it struck on land, it might create a cataclysmic explosion that would mess up our weather for like several years. We're going to talk about some of those things later, right?
Sure are.
Here's another one, 2018 AE2. Between 2094 and 2112, 2018 AE2 will have a number of low probability chances to hit the Earth, 50 million tons with an impact velocity of 53,000 miles per hour. It would have a destructive capacity equal to about half the world's nuclear arsenal.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's something. Watch out for that sucker.
2018 American Eagle 2 or American Express.
The last one is 2006 QV89. It has a diameter of 164 feet. Could potentially hit the planet on September 19th of this year.
Wait, what the fudge?
Yeah, September 9th. Oh, guys, I told you the wrong date. You would have put that wrong. September
9th. Of course
9th.
It would be September 9th.
September 9th, 2019. Why?
9/11, that's anniversary.
Well, yeah, except for not... September
it's not
11th.
Gonna be. I know, but yeah, I'm just saying it's on the day of.
So, anyways, those are a few that you want to take a look at. Just you know, put them on your calendars. Kind of be ready those days.
Maybe go to a seminar and look at the booth with the 3,200 faith on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or go check out 2017 XO2.
Yeah. So let's look at when has this actually happened, Cam? I mean, because they have hit the Earth before,
for sure.
Right. One of the first ones, the Vredefort. Vredefort crater.
Vredefort.
So the date was about 2 billion years ago, so before we were all born. The location was Free State, South Africa. So also known as the Vredefort Dome, the Vredefort crater has an estimated radius of 118 miles, making it the world's largest known impact structure. This crater was declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 2005. So you got that. It's got that going for it.
Yeah.
Another one is the Chick Club crater. I don't know how to say that. Do you know how to say that? It estimated 65 million years ago.
Chick Club.
It's Yucatan, Mexico. Located in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, many scientists believe that the meteorite that left this crater caused or contributed to the extinction of the dinosaurs.
Dinosaur killer.
Yeah. Estimates of its actual diameter range from 106 to a whopping 186 miles, which if proved
trying
right,
to top the other.
Could mean it's the biggest. All right. So those are just
a
few.
Freaking big rock.
I know, man. So those are just a couple of the big ones that sort of hit, and there's been many, many more. Many, many more. But so
Earth altering.
Yeah, exactly.
Collisions.
So what options do we even have available if
these are crazy. I didn't even know they had like these plans.
There's a ton of plans out there. I didn't even write them all down. But what
So how do we stop that asteroid?
How do we stop it? If it's coming towards us, we know we have
get a big trampoline.
Yeah, put it right on the Earth's surface.
Boom.
Yeah.
Shoot it right back out.
Take it to the moon. there's a lot of options. There's a lot of ideas. We don't know if any of them are going to work, by the way. Nobody has
Bruce
any idea.
Bruce Willis knows.
Yeah. But so the first thing, the first trick is actually going to be early detection. And we think we've got this pretty well handled because we got a lot of telescopes. We got a lot of people.
Except for the 10%. But still.
Yeah.
90% is pretty good.
And to actually make any of these plans happen, we're going to have help from everyone across the planet.
Well, I think
because
happen.
They're gonna, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't really.
That one's already dead in the water.
Doesn't make me feel any better. So let's look at a few of those options we have.
this one, I'm like,
okay.
Number one, you all send us your nukes?
Yeah. We'll just send them on over. We're
we got
get
a plan to blast a rock out of the sky. Not to use against you, but send them all to
us. We'll send you our PowerPoint how we're gonna do this. You take a look. Shoot us over those nuke weapons. All right.
FedEx them.
Yeah, FedEx them.
Keep them cold.
UPS, I don't care. Overnight it. Nuclear weapons. This is one of the options. So they think a direct hit.
Of course, nukes always come up in whatever plan.
I know.
I think nukes try to help out.
I don't know. World hunger? Tried nukes? Tried nuking people? I don't know.
You're telling that? Saying.
People don't even trash shit anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, they're just sitting around being unused.
Nobody uses these things. We use them twice. Why we got them?
Yeah, we probably should use them for everything.
A direct hit with a huge nuke might work. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it could actually break it into small pieces, causing additional problems. I think that's happened.
Isn't this essentially what they
deep
were doing?
Impact.
Drilling down inside. No. That's right. The ship had them loaded on it, huh?
Exactly. So a better option might be to detonate a warhead near the asteroid, letting heat from the explosion sear one side of the rock. As material vaporizes from its surface, the asteroid would accelerate in the opposite direction. Just enough, fingers crossed, to steer it away from Earth.
You know, please.
Everybody cross your fingers. It might work. So those are some nuclear weapon options that we have. Number two is kinetic energy. Basically sending an unmanned craft right into that bastard. I mean, just kamikaze. The Japanese.
It's like World War II stuff.
I know.
It's like, why don't we fire flak at a bullet coming right at us?
Yeah,
and hopefully it causes it to turn.
So in 2005, NASA sent the Deep Impact Probe directly into the Temple 1 comet.
In other words, the dip.
Yeah, the dip. We're sending that dip right in the temple. The probe weighed only 816 pounds, but it was moving at 5 miles per second, which is relatively quick. It delivered 19 gigajoules of kinetic energy and was enough to send it off course.
Wow.
So that's pretty interesting. Just, you know, let's just go right into it and see what happens.
And the comet's like made up of ice and
Ice and dust is what a comet is. So apparently it had enough, you know, to.
Would that work with an asteroid, you think? Kinetic energy?
People think it might.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but that's one of the things they think might
Leave
happen.
Leave it to the smarties.
Yeah. Number three, solar sails.
This one I thought was crazy.
I thought this was crazy, and maybe it'll work. I don't know.
Kind of almost makes more sense.
So basically, electromagnetic energy produced by the sun applies pressure to any object in the solar system. Basically, strap some sails to it and let it pick up speed in another direction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really simple. You could also wrap it like leftovers in tinfoil and then reflective paint, and it does the same thing.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. So just use that electromagnetic energy from the sun. Could happen. Could work.
That's a lot of Saran wrap.
It is. It's a ton. Number four, heat it up. Basically, point a laser at it and let the contents heat up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That actually sounds the most realistic.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Every
Everybody get your laser pointers. Pointer right at it.
Every little reaction will cause opposite reaction, basically, is what it's saying.
Oh, yeah. Well,
gas and steam will erupt and... You know what I mean?
Huh.
So, there's one way to do it. Another one, tug it with gravity. Think about it.
Tug it with gravity.
Tug it with gravity. Basically, get a spaceship or a satellite near it for years, and the gravitational pull could be enough to save the world. So basically, you get it right as close as you can to it, and that whatever that is going to have enough gravitational pull to kind of pull it off course.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
A spaceship or a satellite near it
mm-hmm.
for years?
Yeah, because... Yeah, because if it's riding alongside it long enough, it will actually pull it one direction because of gravity, because it has mass. Right?
Weird.
So anything with mass in space
has
gravity.
That's a massive sucker, though.
Depending on how big the asteroid is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a weird one.
That is a weird one. But they think it might
work.
You're going
to go up in the tugboat spaceship.
This one was the stupidest thing. Apparently, this could work. Rock throwing machine.
And was it like a trebuchet? Like a
basically.
Slingshot.
They call their machine a mass driver, but it works the same way. It scoops up rocks from the surface of an asteroid and hurls them into space. So basically, you land a machine on there, that machine starts picking up rocks and just chucking rocks. With each throw, the machine applies force to the rock.
Like when it's pushing.
Yeah. The opposite direction. So each time that happens, it's just barely off course.
That's a lot of rock to throw.
I know. So you throw a few hundred thousand rocks and you might shift it far enough to miss the Earth.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
You know, if we're doing this, we might as well try like three or four of them.
Why don't we just nuke all one side of the Earth and push it over the way?
Why have we not thought
Knock
about that?
Knock it right off from course.
Yeah.
We just asteroid's like, oh, dang it.
Russia, India,
he's out of,
China.
He's not in place in the past.
Yeah, exactly. That's one way to do it. And then the last one I've got, tether the asteroid. All right. Attach one end of a tether to an asteroid and the other end to a massive weight known as a ballast. The ballast acts as an anchor, changing the asteroid's center of gravity and diverting its trajectory over the course of 20 to 50 years. So you got to get out there way before it's getting to us. Yeah. Right.
And set up a freaking Six Flags ride.
Yeah. But basically, the tether would need to be somewhere between 621 miles and 62,000 miles long to make it work. All right, we got to get a tether that's about 62,000 miles long. We got one in the shop?
Harbor Freight have anything like that right now?
They got some good deals going on. I know we can get a tarp for a buck. We can put a sail on
get
there.
Get some sawhorses and grab me a 10,000-kilometer.
Yeah. So anyways, those are some of the ideas they have of actually, you know, changing the course and saving humanity.
Wow.
I know, that's pretty crazy.
I mean, I guess it's a last-ditch effort to try them all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Cam, real quick, did you know that most subscription boxes are full of samples and junk that you'll never use?
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
did, yeah. But not BattleBox. It's the monthly subscription box for men, full of solid gear for adventure seekers, survivalists, outdoor enthusiasts, and casual preppers. You don't know. You might even get like a 62,000-mile tether.
That's true. You know, might be the one and only.
Yeah, asteroid box.
To be able to... Yeah.
You don't know.
Look at all these sails. They fold out into...
We got solar sails and tethers and rock-throwing machines. Amazing. Each month, BattleBox sends you the coolest selection of hand-picked and outdoor survival and everyday carry gear, all valued at far more than what you'd normally pay. You never know what's in the box next, but here's a sampling of what users received this month. BattleBox 2-pick 2-person tent.
Freaking cool.
That thing.
Like teepee.
I cannot wait to get it. I'm really excited.
I am too.
Glowco rechargeable folding solar lantern. That thing's like a...
Looks like a little NASA.
Yeah, it's like a cool looking thing. Yeah, and then a set of awesome tripwire alarms.
Oh, yeah.
Those look cool too.
Are they 22 shell ones?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure though. All this badassness.
We're gonna have to try those ones.
All this badassness starts at about $30 a month. They've shipped almost a million boxes.
I don't know. Probably.
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. One best subscription box of 2017. Our listeners get a free tactical knife when you sign up at trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. That's trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. Get your first battle box plus a free tactical knife at trybattlebox.com/casualpreppers. Use our code casualpreppers and you could save humanity from an asteroid. You don't know.
Sounds pretty freaking awesome to me.
It does. I'm excited.
No brainer.
Yeah.
You get a free knife.
Mm-hmm.
Support us and
mm-hmm.
BattleBox.
Mm-hmm.
Get some cool crap.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe save humanity.
Yeah. So, Cam, I've got a question.
Yeah.
So, like, what if, like, this asteroid hit us?
What would happen?
What would it look like? What would this scenario even be like?
Well, you've probably seen the craters around.
Huh? Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
It just causes a big hole.
That doesn't sound too bad.
No, that's not too bad. So, in terms of all the little scenarios we talk about, there isn't a lot worse than a massive asteroid or a meteor.
Yeah.
Meteor hitting Earth in the devastation.
It's basically like on par with global thermonuclear war.
Yeah, it really is.
Right there.
The only difference is you eliminate a lot of the radiation.
Oh, yeah.
There could be a little bit, but it's not anything like a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what will happen?
I don't know.
We have some events in history that aren't as like massive and dinosaur killing that we've witnessed in the lifetime that we've lived.
Sure.
And one of them was the Tunguska event.
Dude, crazy enough, I just listened to a podcast about this.
On the Tunguska?
Yeah.
Really?
Stuff You Should Know just had one about it, and that just blew my mind.
Yeah, that thing is, I had never heard about this.
Yeah.
So on June 30th, 1908, near Tunguska River in central Russia, if everybody's been there, 7:14.
It's great this time of year. Great. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. In the morning, a massive blast that was calculated to have been a 100-meter asteroid occurred somewhere from 3 to 6 miles above the surface. So this one didn't impact, but it just like blew up. And they call them like, what are they called? They're a boloid. Bolide asteroids or bolide meteors, they explode in the air. And we just saw one recently in Russia. That was another one I was going to talk about. But Russia seems to have them all.
I know. Isn't that weird?
I don't know if it's because the landmass is so big or if it's actually Russia trying out a bunch of weapons. Probably.
Ooh, another asteroid. What happened? I don't know.
Seemed to have projectile had gone over.
Trying to hit North Korea.
Yeah. Why was this going towards the United States and hit us? I don't know.
Something's off somewhere.
But the region, luckily, was heavily forested and lightly populated. You know, lightly populated in Russia doesn't even matter.
No.
A few hundred to 300.
So this is basically out in Siberia, right?
Yeah, pretty much in the middle of nowhere. This thing blew up over the top of the big forested area. And what had happened is the devastation, 80 million trees were leveled and incinerated.
That's a lot of trees.
Yeah, and then a footprint of destruction extending 830 square miles. So this sucker just blew up above the surface of the earth and just like.
So what I heard too is like right in the middle.
Yeah, if you listen to that, it probably, this was like real basic details.
Yeah, so right in the middle, the trees were all still standing. They didn't have any branches. What? Because the impact went straight down
in the middle, so they didn't tip.
Yeah, but everything on the outskirts of it were all going the same direction.
Very similar to a nuclear bomb.
Yeah,
because that blast radius just goes down and then pushes
out. And like there, it was so like underpopulated out there that only like a couple of newspapers actually reported it.
So weird.
And so it had been years and years before anybody actually came over to check it out. Yeah, because nobody really knew about it. I mean, it's 1908.
Bunch of smoke over there, but it's cold up there.
I ain't going out there.
That's crazy. So yeah, essentially very similar reaction that you see in a nuclear bomb. You know, it's got that blast radius, and you get a big wave, and it just leveled all the trees. But right underneath it, they're just standing straight up and no branches. Up.
Yeah,
freaky.
Can you imagine if that happened over a city or something? Though?
Yeah, that's what it was. This thing kind of talked about. Oh, so, okay. 830 square miles. The ring has a radius of 14. Oh, I just pushed the wrong button there. Did I delete everything? I think I did. The blast radius of 830 square miles is like 14.4 miles is the radius.
Wow.
Position that over New York, and you'd have a destruction reaching deep into Queens, in the east, and Staten Island in the south, west to Paterson and Montclair, New Jersey, and north to Yonkers and Rochelle? What is that, New York? Anyway, Manhattan, Bronx, Brooklyn would be swallowed whole. So it would just destroy everything outwards from there.
Wow.
Very much similar to an atomic bomb. The only good thing is you don't deal with
radiation fallout.
I don't think that is any better, but really, well, it kind of is. But so anyways, that's kind of the devastation you would expect just from an asteroid coming in, not striking Earth, but blowing up over the top. It would just level fires.
Is it just get hot enough that it explodes before it hits the surface? Yeah,
I think it's like the composition of it. And like,
oh, depending on what it's made out of.
Like, when it's passing through, it heats up so much through the atmosphere, and then the change in temperatures is...
Yeah. And some people get asteroids, meteors, and comets mixed up.
Yeah.
So we should probably specify that. Yeah, I mentioned
up here. So an asteroid, like Kobe explained, is out there orbiting. Mm-hmm. And when it comes through and passes through the atmosphere, it now becomes a meteor. And the meteor, actually,
yeah.
And meteoroids are just like smaller rocks and debris that pass through. But once they come through the atmosphere, they're now a meteor, and that's what hits the Earth or can impact or explode.
And asteroids are made of like solid rock or metal.
Yeah,
right.
A comet is made up of ice and
dust. Dust, yeah. Basically, yeah.
So this is a solid big chunk of rock, like off the mountain, just comes right through and.
Yep.
So, yeah, asteroids are out floating around, and that's what people land on and drill and try and get split up and stuff.
Exactly.
That's where Bruce Willis died. It was on an asteroid.
I know.
Once it passes through and
may he rest in peace.
Cause damage, it's a meteor. You know, when I was in Brazil, I saw the brightest ever falling star. Like,
really?
I've never seen one so bright. I mean, it was like at night, and it lit up everything.
Yeah.
And those are like freak. Those are those ones that explode. They're called the bolide type of meteors.
I saw one one day driving.
And usually the ones that explode that we see, aren't they only like
tiny,
the size of like a football or something, or like a car?
I thought what I saw was a comet or a meteor one day going over Strawberry. And it was like across the sky, and it was up there for probably 15 minutes. Like
it's crazy,
it was just like spread out over like a mile. But I found out it was actually a satellite that had come through and it was burning up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Kind of sweet.
It was way cool looking. It was insane, but scary.
Yeah, it's pretty intense to see those and like to think if it's bigger and made it close to the surface. Because, for example, the other event that had happened also in Russia was I looked up how to say this. It's the Chelyabinsk meteor. That was the one that happened in 2013, and we saw like video of that. Did you ever see video
like
of that?
Like from a dash cam or something?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, I saw that.
It like real bright streak across the sky. And so this one they figured, so it happened at like 9:20 in the morning, but this one was not very big at all, and the heat and this like the boom from it blew out windows.
The boom so big blew out the windows.
This big boom from meteorite. But this one you can look up. There's videos on it showing it pass through the sky, and it was super bright. Like they said, even brighter than the sun when it ignites. And then the flash from it and the sonic boom blew out windows and glass and injured like 1,000 people.
Jeez.
According to Russia, probably killed 4,000 people.
Yeah. What? No big deal. Just injured like 1,000 people. It was like mass
graves. Did you see that Russia still claims the Chernobyl incident only claimed 31 lives?
Yeah.
Like they don't they consider all the other aftermath. I'm like, come on. Anyway.
Did you finish the series by the way?
Yeah.
Crazy, huh? It's
good series. You guys, if you get a chance to watch the Chernobyl HBO, it's so good.
There are a few embellishments in there, obviously for Hollywood, but most of it was pretty close.
You have to have that.
Yep.
So yeah, this one was a super bolide meteor, that little one, and all it did was just it like basically blinded some people for a minute, you know, because it's super bright, hot, and it was tiny. So you think any bigger than that, you know, you get a reaction on Earth.
So like, I wonder if they knew that was coming. Like, do they see that?
I don't know.
You know, they keep saying they know where all these are coming from. Did they have any idea?
I don't
think
they did, because it was like such a surprise to everybody.
Crazy.
So now let's talk about if an asteroid makes it through, becomes a meteor, and this sucker hits the planet. We talked about the Tunguska one that actually blew up before, but now I'm going to talk about when it actually strikes the surface of Earth that causes like those big, I don't know how you say that one, Chicks Club crater and all those massive craters that are hundreds of miles. They call it an impact event. It's when a collision between an astronomical object causing measurable effects is called an impact event. Oh my gosh. So the number one thing obviously is explosion. So the impact, all the force and power, what it does. So there was just there's a good article on it. Astronomynote.com kind of will give you all the details of when the sucker hits.
Nice.
Or you can go to the NASA meeting coming up.
Exactly.
You get some tickets. But yeah, they figure it's a ton of energy, obviously, because of the movement and projectile hitting a solid mass. And there's a little table here that says it breaks it down into the distance of basically the size of the asteroid and how big of a tsunami or the power. I guess I didn't get into the tsunami yet, but I mean, you can't even estimate. It gets really confusing. They figure in easier terms, an easier unit for us to kind of understand is 1 megaton of TNT is what kind of power would be from this one was the one that this guy did a study on. He figured the size of a 10 kilometer object would be about 1 megaton of TNT.
That's not as much as I would think.
No, it's just like, I was thinking like 2 or 3,000 megaton, but nothing. Megaton's not too bad.
Well, it's still a lot, but obviously.
So, yeah, each kilometer bigger, then you magnify that by like 4 or something. It gets crazy. Equivalent to an earthquake magnitude of 9.4.
Whoa.
So, yeah. Have we even had one that big
in history? I think we've had some in the nines before.
And they just devastate everything.
Yeah.
So, first is the power and force, so the explosion of it. And like, even the ones that blow up above, the one that's going to hit, it's going to send out this big wave and just level everything.
Yeah.
Then comes if the most likely location on Earth is obviously going to hit the ocean.
In the ocean,
75% of Earth's surface. This would be just as devastating. There's some pros, you know, you don't get as much dust and debris, but this sucker hitting water is going to make this massive, never seen before tsunami, you know.
Look how many fish it'll kill right away.
Right
too.
Away. It's right just away. Sad.
They're just swimming.
Pete's been worried about this for years.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is what I was saying. They had this little table that shows the distance in the size of wave based on the size of the asteroid. So if you get a distance of 300 kilometers in size, then you're gonna get a wave that's gonna travel for a 10 kilometer asteroid, if it hits, you're going to get this is a confusing table, but basically, so if you get a 10 kilometer asteroid strike, you're going to get a wave that's 250 meters high.
That's a lot of meters.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, it's, then
like
they talk
two football
about two
fields tall. Basically,
the thing that's going to be super weird is, so when it hits, and they don't talk about this very often, is it hits and it sends out that big massive wave at first,
yeah,
and then when the water rushes back over the hot asteroid that's hit, the super hot asteroid, it causes like another like steam eruption and a second tsunami wave.
So jeez,
you get these massive wave after wave. So obviously, like all the islands and stuff are going to be buried probably halfway into the East Coast. Like, it just wipe out all the coastal regions.
Jeez.
So that's another thing to talk about, is how to get away, is you definitely don't want to live on the coast.
No. There's no good reason.
So you got an explosion, then you get the tsunami, and then you get global firestorms. So
that's what I'm looking for.
I know,
to.
Global firestorms is this, like, one of the most favorite thing. So just the heat of the impact and the energy just going to cause everything to be scorched and start fires everywhere.
Whoa.
Tons of fires and trees and houses and people just burning up. Everybody just burned up.
It was like Terminator 2.
And then, as we know, kind of like like on the volcano episode, if you get all that debris and ash, then you get acid rain.
Mm.
And it just screws up
delicious
everything with the weather. The whole weather system just goes haywire. You get rain, you get snow, you get hail, you get acid rain.
It's almost like living in Utah.
It's almost,
everything.
So we're used to it here.
Yeah.
Asteroid weather.
No big deal for us.
And then comes like temperature effects. Mm. You get this extreme, you know, just like a nuclear winter, you get the, what they call is I think it's an impact winter. So all the debris and everything in the atmosphere, it's blocking the sun. You get a freezing period and it just kills everything. However long that lasts, once that kind of comes out of it, then you get a greenhouse effect.
Jeez.
So then you get to deal with extreme heat.
Yeah.
So obviously, it's really hard to live through any of these. Why the dinosaurs couldn't.
And obviously, depending on the size of the asteroid.
Yeah, how
and all
big.
Those,
and
where
so
it
if it hits the planet in a non-water area, you get all the debris. And then this isn't even mentioning like the earthquakes it'll trigger. Volcanic eruptions.
Oh, yeah.
And all that crap that's going to go along with just this massive. And even, I think they figure the, what's that huge atomic bomb that Russia tested? Remember the Tsar?
Tsar Bomba?
Yeah, that one threw Earth off its axis just slightly.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Oh, my gosh.
I know. I didn't know that either. Crazy. I was reading about it, but yeah, to have an asteroid, it's going to throw it off its axis, so you're going to get changes just that alone, you know.
Your seasonal
Your weathers
change.
Are going to be all messed up, and oh, man, it'll just be devastating.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's a 0.00001 chance of hitting, but if it does, I mean, pretty much kiss your butt goodbye.
Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, you've got all these it's just like a cascade of just horrible things that are going to come afterwards. So anyways, that's fun.
Yeah, super fun.
And then just real quick, we kind of wanted to break down, how do you survive something like this? You know, all that crap you got to deal with seems pretty much impossible. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a mucha big mess.
I guess it's somewhat similar to nuclear war, right? And again,
They're very similar, yeah, which is kind of weird.
And it depends on where the bomb hits or where the asteroid hits. It's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah. A lot of times you're going to, you know, the obvious thing is to go deep, deep.
I always go
bunkers.
Deep. I go deep as
things
I can.
Things like that. And then if you're close to the coast, get the freak away from the coast.
Yeah.
So awareness, obviously, is probably the first biggest thing. Being able to track them and follow.
Close to the coast, you're a ghost. That's a little saying I just came up with.
It's an asteroid saying.
On the fly.
Many asteroid.
Close to the coast, you're a ghost.
I like that.
You like that? Pretty good.
That's really nice. Just have a big asteroid on your shirt. Yeah. Close to the coast, you're a ghost.
We ought
to
get that. I'd love that.
I mean, we have so many shirts we can produce.
Jeez.
So the number one thing to surviving is awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Following NASA, make sure you can.
The good thing is you guys are now aware.
That's true.
You're listening.
You're aware now.
Uh-huh.
And you can also go on the website and see all these that are threatening our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing where the impact might give or take happen, and you know, that's probably the first most important thing.
Yeah.
Once you know the location, it's like, what's my location? I live in a beach house.
Yeah, now look
it. It's going to hit 200 miles off from here. I probably should get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Avoiding water and beaches is best. Even if you live at one of the large lakes, if it's going to hit in there, it's going to be just the same thing. It's going to be all dry.
Water's water.
Water's going to come out, and it's going to be an empty lake.
Is it salty, or is it going to be not salty?
Super weird. And they talk a lot about a bunker being best, obviously, because you're going to avoid the debris, you know, and you're going to avoid the blast. But there's still that chance of it flooding, and that would be bad.
Yeah.
A lot of people, too, talked about going into the mountains. You know, and that's deep impact. That's what they're all, remember, he's riding the bike clear up there because the water comes in and floods. Yep. But there's also problems there is there's avalanches from earthquakes. You've got more rock and shale and debris that could blast up and rip you to shreds.
The Yeti usually comes out of his cave during a tsunami.
Right. Bears and stuff are scared.
Yeah, mountain lions.
This is when they all come together.
Yeah.
But basically, you think just get away from water and then either dig a hole or just give up.
Asteroid mess bunker is best. Man, I got 100 of these.
Yeah, all kinds of these. Just sum it up with a bunch of these.
Yeah, that's all. I already forgot the other one, though, so.
Yeah. Live on the coast, you're a ghost.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what it was. Close to coast, you're a ghost.
Taking to the air. And I think, I don't know, I feel like this would be risky.
You think?
Yeah. Because like a lot of people are talking about like getting a hot air balloon. You imagine that getting blown around in the wind?
Yeah, it sounds like a boom. Those things are dangerous on a good, clear, windless day.
And then all the temperature changes. You're like, I can't even make it go up.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you want to go to the air because you think you're going to be safe, go ahead.
Hot air balloon bug out vehicle. Good idea.
I've had that on my list for a while. Sold my truck for a, bug out balloon.
Preparing for bug out.
Oh man, a bug out balloon would be pretty sweet.
That's pretty good.
I have a map all up on it. People can
So
have a good transportation option.
Yeah.
Once people know that the impact's coming right on their heads, there's gonna be bottlenecks. You know, so you've got to have a really good bug out plan and alternatives, you know, plan B and C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, P.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the biggest fear is those cities, okay, it's going to hit pretty close. Let's get out of here. Everybody's getting out of here, and there's,
yeah,
like, New York would be a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, it's already a bottleneck. Yeah.
So just stay put, New York. We don't want you over here.
Yeah. You made your decision.
Then you've got to kind of plan for dealing. So say you live through the initial blast. Then you've got to deal. You got to deal with the cold that comes.
Yeah.
It's like space, basically. It's going to be freezing. So you got to prepare for all the extremes of temperature. And we've talked about this before, having winter clothes and having naked, dirty, hot air clothes.
Okay.
Not clothes.
Not clothes.
Naked.
Everybody get your naked
bikinis. And swim trunks.
What are you doing? Just getting my asteroid
this
kit
This is my
ready.
Asteroid kit. I wear it all, and then I just shed.
It's my asteroid bag.
But yeah, again, the importance of bug out bags and having like your vehicle kit, because as soon as you find out that plan and where it's going to hit, you get far away from that area.
Yeah.
Solar power could be compromised. So a lot of those kits and things that, you know, that are awesome that we still recommend you having, it's going to be blocked. You know, you're not going to have any way of charging things. So again, it goes back to having your, you know, plan backups. A, B, and C. You got to have manpower generators like the, pedal bike ones. And you've got to have diesel and all that. And then like I talked about, you got to have the different clothing for extreme temperatures. Meds, obviously, if you have lung conditions, this is going to be exacerbated big time.
Yeah.
And I'll talk a little bit about that at the end for the med tip. But masks, oxygen tanks, you know, sealing off your rooms, just like if it were to have fallout like a nuclear blast, the better sealed and protection from all that debris and crap. I mean, it's going to be asbestos everywhere.
Yeah.
Asbestos all over.
Yeah.
And then
you heard of mesothelioma?
Yeah. Instant.
Instant.
Stock up on food and water. You have no idea how long, if you happen to live through it and you're in a bunker, could be years, like literally before you can go to the surface.
Yeah.
So these are extremes, obviously.
Obviously.
You probably aren't going to make it, but plan for a long period down in there.
Oh, man. That would not be a good time.
And then the last thing is just kind of diet expectations. This is where you're going to want to maybe tweak your skills a little bit. Learn how to do hydroponics and things like growing indoors.
Yeah.
A lot of you probably already do that if you're in Colorado. You've been going
in your crawl space. You got those fluorescent lights.
Plants forever up in your attic space. Yeah, you got all kinds. But learning how to do that and getting a good knowledge of the alternative foods, because meat, big game, all that stuff, gone. You know, refrigeration is going to be a problem. So you got to rely on roots and fruits and nuts and butts and trying to rhyme there. Seeds, cereals, things like that. Small animals tend to be a little bit better at staying alive.
Yeah.
And then
the birds made it, right? Through the,
right.
The dinosaur period. That's what they call it. That's the scientific name. The dinosaur period.
You got the paleo period. You got the whatever else. And then you got the dinosaur period.
Yeah, dinosaur period.
In Argentina, they found like ancient history. They survived on shellfish, and shellfish tend to, you know, be a lot more resilient and resistant to big fluctuations in temperature. And
I could live off shellfish. I'd be good with that.
So shellfish is a good thing. Yeah. But you basically have to customize your diet.
Yeah.
You gotta have all that food storage and then learn how to reproduce your food in an environment such as a bunker. It'd be kind of cool to do an episode just on bunker survival, like in the bunker.
In the bunker,
like all the things you got to deal with and learn how to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're basically going to go kind of back to the Stone Age, and you got to learn some of those really hardcore old school skills, bushcraft skills, because technology is pretty much going to be wiped out. You're going to start over. You're going to have to you're going to have to procreate and make a whole new world.
I hate procreating.
I know.
So much work.
It's going to be so tough. But
lose all my Instagram followers.
I got to start all over. But anyway, so it's going to be the worst event on earth. You probably won't survive, but hopefully some
of
these.
Look forward to it. Look forward to it.
Hopefully some of these little things is you go back and listen to the nuclear episode, because that covers a lot of the same types of things. Bunker living. Bunker partying, things like that. But yeah, you got to make a whole different plan for this.
Oh,
and
man.
It's just going to be hard. I mean,
yeah,
it's one of the things I don't look forward to.
No, but it's cool to talk about. It's way super fun to talk about.
it's kind of, there is actually a ton more detail than I thought. Like when you start looking, people have been looking into this for years.
Yeah, they have.
The survival plan gets a little shady because you just don't know. If a large one gets through and hammers Earth, it's such a mess. I don't even know if I would want to survive through.
No, man, it'd be bad.
You can't even go out and go down to Walmart and get something to drink.
Well, that's asteroid survival.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I bet you we just helped thousands stay alive during an asteroid
Absolutely,
strike.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Before we move on,
yeah,
I got to talk about survival boxes.
Oh, I'm excited for this.
Asteroid boxes.
Yeah. Mm.
So, the only subscription box packed with all the essential survival supplies that you'd need to prep for surviving disasters, maybe an asteroid strike, emergencies, or your next outdoor adventure. There are many different boxes to choose from, so you can order the survival food, water, and gear required for your survival plan. Sign up today and get survival boxes delivered to your doorstep every month. No contracts. Cancel anytime. Use promo code CASUALPREPPERS for 10% off of your first box on any subscription or store order at survivalboxes.com.
Mm.
Easiest freaking way to get your food started.
Not hard.
There's no easier way.
Very easy.
I mean, you go to the shop, you go shopping and do it. Probably
that's not
the easiest way, but people don't like doing that.
That's not as easy.
It really isn't as easy.
It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
All right. Now that you guys are enjoying listening to me, I just wanted to go over taking care of your lungs.
Yeah.
So if you have asthma, I talked a little bit about the ability to use your medicine with like a hand pump and the nebulizer tubing.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. That's it. Review that.
Well done.
And you're done. So asthma attack. Obviously, medicines are going to run out, and there are some ways to kind of counter asthma triggers and asthma attacks. One way is controlled breathing, and this method also applies to COPD. Obviously, neither of these are reversible, and you'll always kind of have to deal with them. And when the atmosphere is covered in dirt, that's going to suck.
Mm-mm.
So these are ways that you can kind of control your breathing that'll actually help asthma and COPD. So it's called controlled breathing.
Oh, man. Who came up with that name? Genius of marketing.
It's actually called like pursed lip breathing. You've seen people on basically their last few months of their life breathing in Walmart.
Is that what they do?
Yeah. Oh. So what you do is you just take a deep breath through your nose and then you exhale through pursed lips. So you kind of like you're going to blow or whistle.
Yeah.
It causes like a negative pressure. It also helps expand your chest and your lungs and kind of helps keep that breathing more controlled. Because what happens on an asthma attack is they kind of hyperventilate. Mm-hmm. They're trying to move air too fast and you're not getting the oxygen.
Sometimes asthma is helpful though. Like if an alien is
sprays in your nose,
spray bad things
right
in your face.
Yeah, exactly.
And you live through it.
So sometimes there's cases where you're going to want to let your kids have an asthma attack.
Yeah.
And shut off their breathing.
Just got to know when.
Yeah.
That's the key.
It's really tricky. But, it's kind of almost, if you think of it as like a yoga technique for your lungs, you're controlling it. You're pressing basically your exhale. You're using your lips to block the fast exhale. Kind of gets it under control. It can help like mild to moderate exacerbations. So that's one thing. As for food and remedies, ginger and garlic tea can actually help. You just drink it.
Oh, okay?
You don't inhale it.
You don't just pour it down your lungs?
You don't pour it right down your lungs.
Is that not
run
the right method?
Run a nasal cannula right into your lung. Fill it full of ginger and garlic tea. Don't pour any liquids in your lung. Other herbal teas, ephedra, colt's foot.
Oh, I love me some colt's foot.
Codonopsis, butter bar, nettle. Ooh, chamomile, rosemary, all have potential to improve your asthma.
Butter bar sounds delicious.
It does, right? Butterbur, I mean. Did I say butter bar?
You said butter bar.
Sounds delicious.
It does.
Nothing like a dog turned to butter. Just butter. Go ahead and use it.
That's right.
Coffee, unsweetened coffee, is a stimulant that might make your lung function better.
Hmm, interesting.
And these came from an article from an MD, so it's not like I'm making crap up.
Okay.
And they have been studied, you know, ways to kind of counter an asthma attack without medicines. Obviously, have plenty of inhalers. That's the best option.
Mm-hmm.
But these are also other ways. Eucalyptus and honey.
Mm-hmm.
They also can help with inflammation.
Turmeric.
Turmeric. Take 1 teaspoon of turmeric powder, 6 to 8 ounces of water 3 times a day.
Okay.
That's pretty gross.
Have you ever
tasted that stuff?
I haven't tasted it.
Bitter as all. Get out. And then you can make a licorice and ginger.
Oh, I love licorice. Red vines are awesome.
That's what I was going to say. Just blend up some licorice, red vines, maybe some Twizzler.
Red vines and Twizzler mix with some honey delicious. And some turmeric.
Dang. It can also help your blood pressure.
Yeah.
Licorice can raise your blood pressure.
I didn't know that either.
Black pepper, onion, and honey. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Drink a 1/4 cup of onion juice with 1 tablespoon of honey. Sounds delicious. Mustard oil rub.
My mouth is watering.
Mustard oil rub.
Hey, baby. You down for a mustard oil
I
rub?
I got some master gel and mustard oil rub.
See that butter dog.
Come on over.
The butter dog. I don't know
what Let's eat some butter dog.
I don't know what that means.
Vitamin D, all of us are probably deficient, so you might as well just start eating that. And then lobelia, not labia, lobelia. Native Americans smoked this herb as a treatment for asthma, believe it or not. Instead of smoking, try mixing a tincture of lobelia with a tincture of cayenne in a 3-to-1 ratio.
Hmm.
So that can help. Home remedies for COPD are actually very similar. The pursed lip breathing can be helpful for COPD too. A lot of end-stage COPDers are already doing that because they have no choice, but that's the only way they can breathe.
Wow.
But actually, a lot of the same things I talked about for the supplements and things can help with that.
Yeah.
Like essential oils, eucalyptus oil.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger again and some of those anti-inflammatory foods can help your lungs. So if you don't have your medicines, just eat all kinds of powders and spices.
I know. It's like who has this much stuff at home? They're just like teas and butter.
My mom has all this kind of crap at home.
That's awesome.
Here, take this. Magnesium capsules.
Magnesium with butter bar. Nettle.
These are pure iron. Taste it.
Straight from Suck a meteorite.
On this bar.
Meteorite butter bar. Colt's foot. Mm.
I know, Colt's foot. Hey, just smell some witch hazel. Sniff it. But yeah, anyway. So basically, just make a big concoction of powders.
It's like Cam's cure-all.
Cam's breathing powder.
Breathing powder. Cam's breathing powder and tea.
So you could keep your lips nice and moisturized with Cam's lip balm.
You have COPD, asthma, emphysema, lung cancer. Try Cam's cure-all tea.
Oh, man. Sprinkle it on your food, and then when you're not using it, snort it.
Sniff it. Just like cocaine.
Imagine cayenne and black pepper snorting that. Oh, it hurts.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But, yeah, there's some natural remedies that I doubt any of you will try.
I want to see somebody trying some Colt's foot. Like, I really do. Like, tell me how it is.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to eat some butterbur.
Yeah, it's good times, good times.
And nettle, is that steening nettle?
I don't know. I would suppose so, maybe. Yeah. Tough going down, I'll tell you that.
Basically, the takeaway from this is just get honey. That's probably the safest and best tasting for everything. I'd skip all the other stuff.
I don't know. That stinging nettle in that smoothie I had this morning just kind of irritated my throat. had a Colt's foot chaser after.
Ooh, what is this? It's onion juice with honey. Drink it.
It's onion and honey juice with a Colt's foot twist. All right.
This is a bar. This is a bar for naturopaths.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Psychopaths more like it.
Yeah, well, good. Before you leave, take some mustard oil rub. It gets kind of crazy when you get natural.
Yeah, it
does. Natural's so crazy.
It is. It really is. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, guys, thanks.
I bet you that'll save lives.
Hopefully you're taking notes. That's all I'm saying.
Man. Appreciate you guys listening.
I really feel bad that I'm the one that delivers the, like, this is how you save. Oh, I can't communicate to you, so you're going to die.
I hope you're not in a hurry. Because
all I got from that was crawl in a bunker and snort some pepper.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Get and a eat some Twizzlers.
Get a t-shirt. I don't know. thank you, guys. We appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate those of you who have subscribed. And if you haven't subscribed, come on.
Yeah.
Just do it.
And if you or your friends or your family haven't thought about Asteroid Survival, here you go.
Yeah.
Play it over
have
the radio.
Have a family night. Yeah. Asteroid Survival family night. All right.
Because no one wants to live on the coast and be a ghost.
Close to the coast, you're a ghost. Signing off. See you later, guys.